Sir, I appreciate that.
I tested it. It's good.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Hope he didn't put his lips on my glass, that's all. No, just kidding. All right, Genesis chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him." Of course, it's speaking here of Abraham. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do, as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Oh, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Precious Lord, I thank you, God, for how you revealed yourself right here to Abraham. And I thank you, God, for how this man of God separated himself from evil and from the world and came to thee. Oh, God of heaven, would you paint that picture for us tonight that we so desperately need to see as believers in this church age? Oh, God of heaven, I thank you that he that believeth, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I thank you for the promise of the Spirit. I thank you, God, for that enablement through your power. And God, thank you that I can receive that tonight by faith and for what you're going to do in our hearts tonight as the Word of God has free course, as the serpent's head has been bruised. I praise you, God, for that. Amen. Or has been crushed, for that matter. I thank you so much in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to Genesis chapter 18, there's a little groundwork we saw in Genesis chapter 11 up to this passage, the account of Abraham's life. I like Abraham. I like the account of Abraham. What a thrill it is as you read through the Old Testament saints and the things. What a parallel it is today. Yes, we believe, we're dispensationalists here. Yes, no doubt. And there's different dispensations and different ways God deals with different people through history. But he is the same God. And he deals with us in some similar ways, no doubt, here. We see Abraham through these next chapters, he certainly had priorities in his life, no doubt. Abraham had a proper perspective in his life. Oh, he got a little off to the side, but who doesn't, huh? That's why we need God. Amen. Abraham had a purpose in his life. He had purpose. He had divine purpose. And starting in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible records three different times that Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. You think it was important to him? Three different times he built an altar unto the Lord. And that's just the one the Bible records. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 22 through 24, and in 15:1, Abraham, without a doubt, established that he was more concerned, don't miss this, he was more concerned with the blessing of God on his life than the riches and material wealth of this world. In Genesis 17 and verse 24, Abraham knew and understood what it was like to suffer physically for the Lord. I'm talking about that covenant of circumcision in his old age. Abraham wasn't concerned with his comfort. He wasn't all that concerned with convenience. And it says of Abraham in Genesis 18:19, God says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Folks, Abraham, as we want to see here, had priorities in his life. Look at verse 1. Here he is. "And the Lord appeared unto him." Hey, no doubt here. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. What's the significance of him sitting here in his tent door in the heat of the day? Well, we have a wonderful picture here of primitive Eastern hospitality. You know, as a weary traveler, back in that day and time, you didn't just stop at the Burger King down the street here, or the Wendy's or the McDonald's or anything like that. There was no 7-Elevens, no Holiday Inns, nothing of that sort. No, you were dependent upon folks along the way. Travelers were at the mercy of others. You see, it was customary for a traveler to start traveling at sunrise and then look for a place to rest about midday. Abraham sat at that spot on purpose. Here's a man. He's rich with silver and gold. He's got livestock. He's got servants. That may not sound great today. Ah, he's a farmer. No, this man was rich. A billionaire. He had maid servants. He had men servants. The man had his own army. This man had much responsibility, folks. He was a busy man. He was an important man. And yet he made time to sit in the tent door in the heat of the day to entertain strangers that would go by. You see, he had a definite concern for the needs of others. Abraham had a heart for people because Abraham had a heart for God. He was not consumed with the material possessions and wealth and earthly status. No, he had a vision for the eternal. He was available to others. And folks, he was available to God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away." Isn't that a blessing, folks? It is going to pass away. All the wickedness. Even all our foreign policy and everything going on in our government and all the rest, it's going to pass away because it's of the world. But he that doeth the will of God. That, you know, there's some folks that sang here tonight a song about a path. That path they're speaking of there is the way and the truth and the life. It's old. It is, and folks, I'm going to say it just as sure as I'm saying, it is so narrow. It's a narrow way. The gate's straight, isn't it? It's narrow. But the way of the world is broad. You see, Abraham had a heart for God and the things of God. In the fall of 1997, I was cleaning up brush at Penn State University. There were three climbers stuck in the trees there, you know, and I had this yellow tape all around because I was the ground man there at Penn State. And I had this yellow caution tape all the way around because there's 47,000 students at Penn State University and none of them would come, none of them would walk around. You know what I'm saying there? It was a place of higher learning, but I'm not sure much how much learning was done there. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they'd come in right through without a hard hat, without anything. There's guys throwing big tops of trees down sometimes, you know. Anyway, that was my job. And I stood there one day right near Old Main Lawn, all right? And I've got a rake here, and yes, I'm leaning on a rake, just like a state worker would do, right? But that's what I was supposed to do. I was the safety man, and there wasn't enough brush to rake up, all right? So I'm standing there leaning on this rake, and this fella comes down and on a bicycle. He was a peculiar-looking fella. He had even had a basket on his bike. It was kind of funny, you know what I mean? And I thought, well, anyway, he comes down there, and he says, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine today. I said, how about you? And he starts talking to me about what are the guys doing in the trees, and who's that up there, and what's this, you know? And I thought, you know, this guy, I'm telling him all about it. I thought the guy, you know. And then he steered that conversation toward Jesus Christ, toward my need of a Savior, the gospel. And I thought, and I talked to him, what else was I going to do? There I was. And he said, hey, why don't you come to a Bible study on campus? He said, I invite you to Bible study. And boy, you know, that night I did. I went to his Bible study. I wasn't saved. I didn't know Jesus Christ this 1997. I went to that Bible study. Of course, I went home, and next thing I know, this guy's calling me on the phone. His name's Graham Snyder. I haven't seen him since. But he calls me on the phone at home. Hey, how you doing? Listen, I was single. I was okay with him calling me at home. It didn't bugging me any. And he said, hey, why don't you come back to Bible study? I said, oh, okay, I'll come back sometime. Then, one other time he called me up. He says, hey, you know, my wife's going to be making some dinner tonight. He said, I'm having some guys over. Why don't you come on up to campus? He lived there in student housing and campus. He said, come on up and have some dinner with us. And I did. Went up to Penn State there and went to dinner with him and his wife made us a meal and some other fellows there, and then we went to the Bible study. Now, here's the thing. This fella was always, he was always speaking of Jesus Christ. He was always speaking about, and I'm going to tell you what I thought, something about religion, you know. About the Bible, about scripture verses. But here's the thing. Though I did not receive Jesus Christ at this particular time in my life, about another year, what it was, this man made a great, great impression on me. This was a busy man. This man was married, going to Penn State University. He was struggling, I believe, financially to get through college. He was taking agricultural courses to teach people on the foreign field how to grow their own food. He had vision. He had purpose. He had priorities. He led Bible studies. He seemed to be a leader there at the campus ministries and all the rest. And hey, listen, I'm so glad he took time to sit in his tent during the heat of the day. The last I heard of him, he's on the mission field somewhere showing people that don't know how to grow their own food how to do it. And telling about Christ. I haven't seen that man since. I don't know that he knows anything, even what God has done in my life or anything like that. All he knew is he's going to talk to that guy leaning on the rake. Are you willing to talk to the guy leaning on the rake? Do you have a passion for it? Is it the main thing when you're out and about? I can't help but think about that verse so much. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That is the spirit of the living God inside you and me, crying out, saying, talk to him. That's right. I'm seeking. I want to save. He is the God of all the earth. Right. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No, this man, Graham Snyder, I'm going to meet him again someday. I'm going to hug his neck. I don't think I can maintain my composure if I saw the man. That's how much, what a blessing. He cared. He was concerned about the needs of others. He had a vision for the eternal. He was available to God and to others. Wasn't concerned about money and possessions and status. What about you tonight? Where is your heart really tonight? Where is it tonight? You see, God manifests himself. In other words, he shows himself. He reveals himself to these kind of individuals. John 14, verses 20 and 21 The Bible says, at that day ye shall know, Jesus said these words, he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I also will love him, don't miss it, and I will manifest myself to him.
Amen.
Keep my commandments? What a connection between love and keeping commandments. What a connection between love and keeping commandments and the narrow road. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. What are your priorities tonight? What is it? What goes through your heart and your mind? What kind of music do you listen to? You say, preacher, where'd that come from? I'm talking about loving God. Muse means to think. What do you think about? God created us as musically inclined. It made our minds that way, even so we can memorize things that way. We memorize things that are set to music. Love not the world. What's your music like? Is it Froggy 98? If it is, you don't have the priorities that God has for you. Yeah, I'll just nail that down tonight. You don't have those priorities that God has. You have your own. Is it some rock and roll station? What is it tonight? Because God says, plain and simple, to hell they'll go. What do we want to invest in those things for this evening? No, Abraham had right priorities. But also number two tonight, we'll see in verse two, he had a right perspective. A right perspective. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, let's identify these three men. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ and two angels with him. Immediately, Abraham recognized the person and presence of God. Immediately he did. Folks, because of the numbing, desensitizing effect that the world has on Christians, including this preacher this evening, we fail to see and to sense the presence of God in the prayer closet. And therefore, so now we don't go there. Right? Why? Folks, because it's not real to us. That's why. Boring. There's nothing boring about meeting with God. Abraham ran to meet him.
Amen.
We fail to see the working of God through our circumstances. We fail to trust him through those circumstances because it says in Hebrews 3 and verse 5, 13 and verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In your prayer closet, is there some teenagers in the room? Some teenagers? Some young people? God wants to meet you there too. Many times I've heard, I'm not going to preach on prayer. It's going to be a bunch of teenagers. Oh no, that's what we need to preach on prayer.
Amen.
The exaltation of Jesus Christ will be through the prayer closet, through your prayer life. Yes. I'm talking about a right perspective now. That's what we're talking about here. In your prayer closet, through difficult circumstances, we must be able to see God's working, his intervening through the eye of faith. Ephesians 1 and verse 11 says, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We are talking about God's purposes. According to his will. You see, fact, God uses men to carry out his will and his purposes. He doesn't have to, it's just that he gives us the privilege to.
Amen.
It's not about our happiness tonight, folks. It's not about our convenience. It's not about our dreams, our plans, or even any of our reputations tonight. It's about the one and only true God. I'm not going to try to sell you something tonight. If you sell out to God, you're going to have a great time and it's all going to work out. No, but I'll stand and tell you first thing tonight that he's worthy of it. And I'll stand here and say tonight, it will work out because he will do it through you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Right.
And I'll be the first to tell you tonight, there is a joy, an absolute thrill in serving Jesus Christ and being that vessel and laying down your life. Your entire being, that he might fill you with his love, with his power, with his greatness. It's him. It's all about the eternal purposes of God and how to recognize them. Having a heart after God's own heart. To have a heart after God's own heart, you must meet with him with eagerness. We ought to have the attitude that's like, oh, I miss my time with God today. Oh, I hate that. That ought to be our heart. Oh, I hate that. I know I missed something.
That's right.
Because the Bible says Abraham ran to meet him. That tells us about this man's heart. I heard an old preacher say one time that the crying sin of the church today is her laziness after God. Could it be said of you? What's God speaking to you about tonight? This quiet time with God is where we get God's perspective on our lives. In fact, you know, I've heard wisdom defined like this. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. You'll get it from here. You see, Proverbs 18:1 says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. When I come through that verse in the book of Proverbs, I'm convicted every time. Because through desire, do you want to? Do you want to meet him? Do you want to intermeddle with all wisdom? Who's the personification of wisdom anyway? It's Christ. But I want to look at another evidence tonight that Abraham had a right perspective. It says here in verse 2, and he bowed himself down to the ground. You see, Abraham had a mind to immediately, without hesitation, show honor and reverence to God in an instant. Man, he was compelled. When's the last time you've been out alone working, or walking, or hiking, or gardening, or whatever? Cleaning up supper dishes. Whatever it is. And you're meditating on the scripture. You're thinking of the things of God. And that's why the hymns are so great, you know. They've got this book wrapped all over them. Preachers wrote those things. Men that knew the word of God, that knew doctrine. And that's going through your mind and spontaneously you feel just compelled to worship and bow down or even to lay prostrate right there in the ground.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference whether you have your good pants on or not. Amen. Hey, that can be a dilemma. That's true. You have that kind of relationship with him? Do you think of him like that? Because it just doesn't, nothing else matters, you know. Exodus 34, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, and the Lord passed by before him. Here, Abraham, or Moses, gets a glimpse of God and his holiness here. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children and unto the children's children, unto the third and fourth generations. That's holiness. Oh, he loves, but sin will be judged. And Moses couldn't take it. The Bible says in verse number 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. He made haste, folks. There was no time wasted. Boom. He was compelled to worship. He was compelled to reverence. Reverence. Reverence God. Psalm 45, verses 10 and 11. In context in Psalm 45, it's talking about forgetting thine own people, forgetting everything else around you. All right? For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Psalm 45, 10 and 11. Do you, like Abraham, recognize the presence of God in your life? And do you have a mind to immediately, without hesitation, show honor and reverence no matter what you're doing? I know a fellow was in a bank one day. He was there by the bank teller, and he was talking to the bank teller there, trying to get some things figured out with these finances. This guy comes in the door. And he says something like, hey, it's pretty nice outside. And he starts talking to the fellow that's trying to get his finances figured out. And the fellow was really just trying to get things with him. And he goes, and of course the guy was nice. He had conversation with him. He says, yeah, it's pretty nice out here. And he turns to the ladies behind the counter. And he says, oh, but it's pretty nice in here. So it's pretty nice things to look at in here. And the fellow, getting his finances, it took him back. He was a Christian. He loved God. He loved his wife. He looked at that fella, who was an older man. He looked at him and said, no, sir, I love the Lord and I love my wife, and I'm not here for that. He goes, well, the first part's good. You love the Lord. He goes, I don't know about the second part. He said, no. He said, no, the Bible says that I'm supposed to love my wife. And he says, and I'm supposed to love the Lord, and all those things go together. He said. You see, we're talking about having a right perspective no matter where you are. Now, that fellow didn't bow down and worship God, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. He let everybody know in the bank where he stood. I'm talking about a right perspective, and dear friends, you will not get that right perspective. We need that perspective as a church. We need that perspective as men and as ladies. And we will not get that perspective unless we come to Him in the morning, in the evening, whatever it may be that you do your, that you spend time with God. I don't like the word devotion. I know it's a good word, and I just use it. We're going to do my devotions. Oh, meet with him. You know. Talked about right priorities. Talked about right perspective, but Abraham had right purpose in his life and for his life. Verses 3 through 8 here. It says, of course, it goes down through here. And verse 3 says, and my Lord, if now I've found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Do you notice what he said there in verse 3? He says, if I found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant. Folks, let's not miss this concept tonight. Abraham desperately wanted his guests to stay, didn't he? He certainly wanted to give them the food, the water. He wanted to refresh them, didn't he? What did he have? He wanted to entertain them, didn't he? Abraham desperately wanted to entertain God, to host him. I know of a young man in his early 20s. He received Jesus Christ as his Savior. His parents, nor his grandparents, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, none of them knew the Lord. They were a godless bunch, and if we could say that tonight. Family gatherings and picnics and holidays, there was cursing. Inappropriate, indecent gifts exchanged at Christmas time even. God wasn't even a thought until this young man received Jesus Christ, and immediately his life began to change. Young fellow would, now they'd just show up for the holidays and the parties, and all of a sudden he'd ask if he could pray before the meal.
Amen.
That got a bit uncomfortable for folks. He missed family gatherings because he was going to church services. What's going on with this guy? He didn't use the same language as they do anymore, you know. He didn't drink. He didn't appreciate their dirty jokes. No, he told them of Christ. He told them of their need. And now, when he would enter the room at a family gathering, the conversation would change. The language would change like that. They didn't know how to handle this guy. Why? Why was the room, the atmosphere so different? Why was the conversation so different when he's present now? Because there is something very powerful about the presence of one who entertains God. There's something very, very unique about one who hosts God in a situation, in a circumstance. But an individual's got to be conscious of him to host him. Amen. It's got to be a life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't say I'm the way, the truth, and just sometimes. It's a life.
Right.
Sir, are you on board with Jesus Christ tonight? Is that your heart? Is that your desire? Is that what you want? Ma'am, how about you? Is that what you want? All of him? All the time? Listen, anything else is backslidden. Yes. It's idolatry. From the word go. Oh, how we need him. How he desires us. No, God is looking for individuals who will host him. Be a channel or a vessel in which he might intervene into a situation, into a circumstance, into a family, into a job site, into the office. I'm talking about shining gospel light, just glowing off a man or a lady. Now, Abraham jumped at the opportunity. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. He's going to be fit for every good work. You see, for Abraham, entertaining God involved beseeching his God, calling out to him, wait! Now understand, I want you to get the picture though of this. This is some of the best stuff here. Abraham's sitting right in the tent door in the heat of the day. He sees these guys coming. Now understand, these fellows had some dignity back then. You know what I'm saying? They're just not gonna show their emotions or anything like that and everything. And no, because it was improper to, the people were supposed, what was supposed to happen is the man at the tent door was supposed to stand up and put his staff or whatever, and those people were supposed to come in. Abraham blew it off, man. He lost himself. Right out there. Bowed right down and said, oh, come in here. Come in with me. It didn't make any difference to him. Just like Mary of Bethany there. Washed Jesus' feet with her hair, didn't he? Didn't she? Well, it's immoral to do that in back day and time. Did you know that? No. She let her hair down for the Lord Jesus. You say, oh, well, that's perverted. No, no, no. That was of utmost reverence for her precious Lord. She gave her heart, her body, her soul to him. So did Abraham. Doesn't matter what the fellows at the workplace are saying. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Matters about him. Entertaining God involved beseeching, calling out to him, spending time on God, spending his substance on God. It was an effort on his part and his family. Do you notice he got his family involved? Sarah, you got to do this. The servant boy, hey, you got to come on. You get the calf. He involved everybody in serving God. We need to involve the whole family. Amen? Everybody. What a concept to invite God, to entertain him, to beseech him before you go into Walmart. Not shortly after, I say it just plain and clear. I said, we got a hold of that concept, my wife and I, about entertaining God in our home. She went to Walmart the one day and you know there's something about entertaining him, asking him that he might intervene in your circumstances, in your Walmart visit, that he might be manifest to others. Next thing you know, she's at the cash register. And God just really lays in her heart to witness to a Muslim lady. Now, folks, that might be normal for you, okay. But we don't get to witness to many Muslim folks, all right? And the Muslim lady really wasn't interested. She listened. But then another lady heard the thing. And before you know it, you got about five people talking around the cash register about God. We must host him in our lives, entertain him, call out to him. Isaiah 45 and verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The Lord chooses to use men to carry out his purposes. One day I was at Penn State University. There I was working on the tree crew and I was driving the water truck that day. And that thing didn't have very big, good brakes, I'll tell you that. But then you'd get that baby full of water and you had to have plenty of time to stop. And so I was driving that water truck down the road and I pulled into this one place. We had a bunch of trees we needed watered and turned my big machine on there, you know, and that the pump, everything. I started spraying and watering the trees right down the line there. Now, at that time, Penn State University was just full of construction. And there were a couple of fellas, there's big these fences up, you know, to keep the students and everybody out. And there were some fellas just on the other side of the fence, and they were sitting there, big old burly guys sitting there eating their lunch. There were three guys there. And one guy, he had his hard hat down, you know, and I think he had his sandwich in his hard hat, and he was eating out of that sandwich, and it was all sweaty looking too, you know. And I thought, boy, oh boy, and I come around there, I noticed those things. I came around there and I thought, and the Lord said, Ben, I want you to go talk to them. And I'm watering these trees. I thought, no, they're big. Those men are big. And I thought, I was scared. Plain and simple. There's three of those guys. I'm just a water boy there. So I come around the side of the fence there and watering some more trees and it was lunchtime. The Lord said, no, go talk to them. I thought, okay. And I don't know about you, but Sometimes when I make up my mind I'm going to do something, I'm just going to have to obey. And I don't even know how I'm going to obey, but I'm going to do it, you know. So I walk up to those fellas, and I didn't even rehearse a word, you know. And I said, "Hey, fellas, how you doing? Hey, I just want to come over and..." What was I there for? "I just want to come over and tell you about Jesus Christ. He saved my soul, and you fellas will need him." And I don't know what I said, okay? And I walked, those guys just looked at me. The guy with the had his sandwich in his hat, just, and, you know, and I said, well, you just want to speak with you, man. You have a good day." And I walked away. And do you ever feel like, you ever talk to somebody and you say, "I'm never going to speak about the Lord again. I'm so embarrassed. All I did was make a fool of myself." And that's the way I thought. I'm not doing it. I don't want to talk about the Lord again and all that, you know. And of course, you get over that, okay? A couple of days a year, a couple of whatever, you know the Lord wants you to speak. But so that day went by, and of course, God, I went to Ambassador College there, Baptist College, for preacher, to learn the Word of God and everything. And I came back. This must have been year and a half. And I come back and I start working for a local tree service in the State College area. And Meek's Tree Service. And Ed says, "Boys, I want you to go down and I want you to cut down this spruce tree and chip it up, get it out of here." Okay, all right. So we pull up to this nice looking neighborhood, you know, and get out of the truck and head down there with the chainsaws and everything. And we're going to chip this spruce tree up. And wouldn't you know it, in the yard there's a guy with a backhoe. And he's digging a water line in. And there's a guy standing there leaning on a shovel. All right? And the Lord said, "Now, understand something. You got to be careful at work and do what you're supposed to do. And people aren't paying you to talk about the Lord. And I understand that. All right? So you do what you can do." But Ed didn't care. All right? He was working out. So I want to preface that. And the Lord said, "Ben, go talk to that guy." I thought, oh, no. Another construction guy. Seems those big fellas, the ones I get, you know. And I thought, and I knew not to argue. Okay, down through the yard I went with the biggest pit you ever did want to feel in your stomach. You know what I mean? And I get down to that guy. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, I know we're here to do the trees and everything. How's it going?" He said, "Oh, it's going all right." And I said, "Hey, my Lord sent me over here. I just want to tell you about Jesus Christ." And he looked at me and he took his hat off and he goes, "You?" I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "I know you." I said, "You do?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Yes, sir. You work at Penn State University." I said, "No, sir." I said, "I don't." I said, I quit there years ago. He goes, no, sir." He says, "You were up at Penn State University telling people about Jesus one day." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I probably was." He goes, "Yep." He says, "There were three men sitting on a bench." He rehearsed the whole thing. I knew exactly who it was because I remember that day. "There were three men sitting on a bench." He says, "I was a guy clear over on the left." And he says, "And you told us about Jesus Christ and you even prayed with us." Now, folks, I don't remember for life of me praying with those men. All right. But that's what he said. I did. There ain't nothing wrong. I won't say it again. There's not anything wrong with praying with folks about that. Just tell them. Give them a verse. Give them anything. Just tell them about God. Amen. Tell them. Anyway, the fella said, "I was sitting there on the bench." He says, "Listen, mister." He had those big old gloves on. He says, "Dirty even." He says, "You don't know what happened that day." He says, "You told us about Christ." He says, "I ended up going to church." He says, "I went to church with my wife." He says, "You didn't know it." He said, "But my wife had cancer." And he said, "We thought we were going to lose her. And you mentioned that." He said, "We went to church." He said, "Guess what?" He says, "I got saved." He says, "And my wife got saved." He says, "And my two little boys are saved." He said. He said, and the Lord put that cancer in remission. And he says, "And now we're all living at home there." And he says, "And I want to thank you." And he grabbed my hand, shook it, you know. And I say all that to say this. Now, folks, how many times in my life do I don't host God? I don't have that consciousness of him. I don't entertain him. The Lord was so gracious to see what happened. And I thought it was an absolute failure, scared to death that day. No, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, isn't it? Yeah. What God would do with the man or the woman that purposes to entertain God. You know, I think Adoniram Judson spent 7 years in Burma, discouraged. Yep. Having a rough time, yep. But you know, He was speaking to God. His biography says that he would never, there was never a day the sun would come up that you couldn't find him in prayer. He was speaking to men about God and speaking to God about men is what he was doing. He was representing God in just daily life, at the market, in the streets, in daily business, whatever it was. For 7 years, no converts. But folks, you know the story. Till he was done, there were 50 churches started in Burma. Thousands of converts. Why? Because this man decided in his heart and mind he was going to entertain God. Plain and simple. I ask you the question tonight. What would happen if you would make a choice to entertain God, to host him in your home, in your workplace, in your life? Would some things in your home have to change? Would some things in your heart have to change? How about it tonight? Abraham was a man that gave God his heart. Does God have your heart tonight? What's he speaking to you about? Let's go ahead and stand for prayer tonight. With eyes closed and heads bowed tonight, I want to ask this question tonight. Could it be that there's a man tonight, a lady this evening, I would say, preacher, pray for me. And prayer is powerful, folks. It is powerful. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart tonight about having right priorities, about having a right perspective, having a right purpose. And I need to entertain God. Preacher, would you pray for me? There's some things that I've got to deal with. You slip up your hand tonight. Yes, amen. I see that. Yes, yes, yes. Across. Anyone else tonight? Yes. Anyone else? Oh, yes. Oh, brothers and sisters, yes, I appreciate you. You may put your hand down. Is there anyone else tonight? Say, God spoke to me tonight about this matter of entertaining him, about my right perspective. Just a minute, I'm going to have song leader come and we're going to have an invitation hymn. Listen, if God, and God will tell you whether or not you come down here to the front tonight, if you need to come down to this